What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Marshall Time, episode 49. We're about, what, 2 weeks into the season, bro?
Yes.
2 weeks. The time is already flying, so it's been a lot to talk about, a lot that's going on. We're going to focus this on two different conversations. On one side, we got a couple teams that are struggling. On the other side, one team that's really starting to stand out, and I think long-term, we could be talking about, like, a team that's about to run the Western Conference, at least, for the next few years. We'll see how things go. Obviously, things change on a yearly basis, but we're really impressed with this team. But we got to talk about the struggle that is the Milwaukee Bucks and the Denver Nuggets. Let's take it to the Nuggets first, because I got a lot more to say about the Bucks. So let's get the Nuggets out the way. They lost Friday night to Minnesota. But even before that, though, they had losses to the Bulls. They lose to the Bulls? Or was it the Nets? Mm-hmm. Or they beat the Nets. Let me pull up their schedule just to double check.
I think they lost to the I know they struggled with the Raptors, too.
They beat the Raptors in overtime.
Right.
So the Nuggets, they started the year with losses to the Thunder, the Clippers. They beat the Raptors and Nets in overtime. And then they lose to the Timberwolves. So they're at 2-3. Not horrible, obviously. It's just five games into the season. But with the Nuggets, with Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and those guys, you're expecting a better output. And beating the Raptors and Nets in overtime is not something you should be happy about, right? And then you play the Thunder. You looked outclassed in the season opener. You lose to the Clippers, which they aren't a talented team compared to what you have. You lose to Minnesota. You came back and made it a game, but Minnesota once again is showing that as of right now, they should be ranked high above you. The problem with Denver is it's as simple as this. There's nothing wrong with your starting five, but your bench is weak. Is it okay to say Russell Westbrook isn't who he once was?
He's not at all.
We're not surprised at that, right? Dario Saric, at 30 years old, looks cooked. I don't know what he brings to the table. And the development that you expected from Julian Strother and Christian Braun. Well, Christian Braun starting, he's fine. But Peyton Watson and Julian Strother, I think they were counting on those guys to step up in developmental stages, and it just hasn't happened. And so if your bench is Russell Westbrook, Julian Strother, Peyton Watson, Dario Saric in the Western Conference, it's not good enough. So now you're expecting Nikola Jokic to play at an MVP level each and every night, which he's capable of doing, but that doesn't have lasting power, right? How much can you depend on a Jamal Murray now, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Christian Braun, who's stepping up into his role? And so the problem isn't losing a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I don't think that's the issue. I don't think he makes that big of a difference in the struggles that we're seeing. The issue is your bench just isn't good enough. You can't – like Russell Westbrook and Dario Saric being your vets off the bench is not going to be good enough. And your young guys and Julian Strother and Peyton Watson just didn't develop. And that's the issue. It's as simple as that. I mean, KCP was a great piece to that core and winning a championship, but you don't have that much of a drop-off losing a KCP type. That's just the bottom line. Russell Westbrook, Strother, Watson, and Saric, it's not a good enough bench, especially in this Western Conference and some of the teams that we'll be talking about later in the show. It's just not good enough. And that's what it comes down to. They did not do a good job of developing the younger guys that they are now depending on to come off the bench.
Yeah, you hit it right on the nose. Also, I feel like a lot of people are trying to put blame on Jamal Murray. You know, he's had some injury issues. He hasn't been playing his best basketball early on this season. But to me, Jamal Murray has never been like a go-to regular season guy. Like, we know what his game is, but in the regular season, he's always been like this. He's always been inconsistent, which is why he's never made an all-star game, right? Regular season, we know he'll have stretches where he looks like, you know, top point guard in the league. And he'll have stretches where he's like, you know, he looks really mid, looks really regular. And I'm a Jamal Murray fan, but the reason we appreciate him is because in the playoffs, we know he's going to outplay anybody that he goes up against, right? So even the year they won the finals, it's not like he was averaging 27 points a game, 26 points a game. He wasn't always – every night wasn't his best night with them. But when the playoffs came, he stepped up, and that's what counted, right? That's what Jamal Murray has always been. And a lot of people like to talk about his injuries. People are saying he doesn't look as explosive. To me, it's like, I don't know. Like, his game was never based on athleticism. Like, yeah, he's sneaky athletic. I would say that, but his game was never like, I got to blow past you. He's known for getting tough buckets in the clutch, you know, in the half court when the game slows down, which is why he succeeds in the playoffs. Obviously, since they're not as deep, he does have to play better, though. But to me, this doesn't – like, it's not surprising me. Like, if you told me Jamal Murray would have some bad games in the regular season, I'd be like, okay, that's been him his whole career. So, yeah, other than that, I mean, they know what's going on. It's Denver, right? It's a small market team. Even though they won a chip, they have, you know, one of the most popular players in the world. But they're not necessarily tracking a big name free agents. We know this. So they've built by making smart moves, smart free agency additions, smart trades, right? We already knew last year when they lost Bruce Brown that it might hurt them. And now we're seeing it hurt them even further. As far as KCP, like you said, I feel like his role, I feel like him losing him does hurt a little bit, but it's not as much as we see on the court. Like, his 3-and-D presence is there, but like you said, Bron is stepping into that role. So I feel like they have to get better on the bench. That's what it comes down to with me, because they're in these games, right? It's not like they're getting blown out, but Westbrook off the bench is just not it. Like, he doesn't look good at all. He doesn't look good at all up there. So
how do you even get better with what you have, right? There isn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, players, like, what, I don't know what moves they can really make.
Who are you offering? Dario Saric, Julian Strother, Peyton, like, what are we talking about here? And so what it looks like to me, they just got to rock out. Like, unless there's a, you know, I know there are some still legit, there's some solid guys still looking for teams, right? Like Alani Walker, Markelle Fultz. Like, I don't know what you do, but maybe you have to go that route, because trade-wise, I don't see what move there is. Like, in order to get back something valuable, you have to have something that I want in return, right? And I don't, unless you're giving me the Joker, Aaron Gordon, or Jamal Murray, like, what are we talking about here, right? And so, but the one thing that they do have Nikolai Jokic, the Joker. And so I'm not as concerned compared to this next team that we're talking about. I think this next, you know, I mean, I've been vocal about this team since they got Dame and since they fired Adrian Griffin. You know how I felt about the Bucks. Like, it's been consistent. I didn't buy it from day one as far as being the best team in the Eastern Conference. I always felt the Celtics were still better. You fire Adrian Griffin. You bring in Doc Rivers. You know how I feel about that. You know how I feel about him as a head coach. So the Bucks, let's go over their season so far. Of course, opening night went over the Sixers, which we're looking at it now. It doesn't really mean much right now. Beating the Sixers, I mean, even the Pistons did that. Without Joel Embiid and Paul George, they've lost four straight games to Chicago, to the Nets, to the Celtics, and to the Grizzlies. Then you have back-to-back games against the Cavaliers. So possibly you could be looking at a 1-6 start. What is the issue with the Bucks? Well, let's go back. You fire Adrian Griffin, who had a winning record, 30 wins, second best team in the Eastern Conference at the time. But apparently, somebody didn't like him, right? Was that the story that was coming out?
That's what they're saying. Who knows?
You fire a winning head coach. You do your little pregame dancing because, oh, we got rid of the coach we didn't like. We bring in Doc Rivers, who won a championship years ago. You lost in the first round last year?
Yep.
Giannis was hurt, though. Giannis got hurt, right?
Yeah, he did.
So you come back this year, we say, okay, another year of Dame and Giannis. Then there's talk about, oh, we didn't have a chance to work out this much this offseason. You see that?
Yeah.
Whose fault is that?
Them.
All I hear are excuses with the Bucks. Since Doc Rivers was hired, all I've heard are excuses. Giannis is going to be dominant. Dame is going to get his numbers. Chris Middleton is out right now. But even when Chris Middleton comes back, I still don't think this team is going to do much damage in the Eastern Conference. Chris Middleton's, he's always hurt at this point. That's just what it is with him. Like, there's always something new going on with his body. He's 33 years old. Dame is 34. Giannis will be 30 in December. Brooke Lopez is 36. Your main core is getting older. Gary Trent Jr. and Dame Lillard as your starting backcourt right now defensively is not going to get it done. That's food for opposing defenses, for opposing offenses. Torian Prince shouldn't be playing these many minutes. I don't know what is going on with that, but Darvin Ham has a good relationship with him, right? I guess that's the joke, you know, him being in L.A., right? So it continues in Milwaukee. Delon Wright, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton. The roster just isn't good enough. And Doc Rivers is definitely not the coach to get this thing put together. I just don't think they, like, enjoy playing with each other. I watched the game against the Grizzlies the other night, and the effort, the energy was low. I'm like, do they even enjoy being out there playing basketball together? Do Giannis and Dame even have a good working relationship right now? Because it doesn't look like they do. Just from me watching the game and having watched basketball and been around the game, they're a boring team to watch. Giannis is going to do his put his head down, shoulder down, and attack. Dame is going to launch threes. But outside of that, you talk about what is our identity. Well, that is your identity. We're reliant upon Giannis and Dame getting their games off. And the rest of you guys follow along. That's just not a winning formula right now, especially where Dame is at in his career. I don't think he's at a place to where he's as impactful as he once was. That's just what it is, in my opinion, right? And all I hear are excuses from the Bucks ever since Doc Rivers came. It's just all these excuses. And this is the coach that you wanted. This was the move that you wanted. You sacrificed defense by trading Jrue Holiday for Dame. And this is what you get. You're one of the worst teams defensively. One of the most boring teams to watch. The Bucks are cooked. Now you're paying three. You're paying Mike Budenholzer still. You're still paying Adrian Griffin. And now you're paying Doc. You're paying three head coaches. Two of them you wanted to leave. And now you're one of the worst teams in the league right now, based off the record. I don't care about the names. What does the record say? You lost to the Nets and Bulls. So you played yourselves. That's all I got with the Bucks right now.
Yeah, this team, on top of everything you just said, this team to me just screams dysfunction. Dating back to last season, like I forgot who asked them, but they were asking Dame, you know, who's the best bigs in the league or in the East. It was something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And he named him Bam. He left Giannis out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, you just got there. And you know Giannis is better than – you know he's better than Bam, and you may argue that he's better than Embiid. Like, so what are you talking about? Then we got Doc when they told him – like, he was asking, are you sure? Are you sure you want to fire Adrian and hire me? Like, are you sure? Like, then we got the – like you said, they didn't work out in the offseason. Then we got Dan talking about he was going through his divorce and he wasn't focused. And then we have reports saying Dame doesn't want to be here anyway. He wanted to go to Miami. Dysfunction everywhere, no matter how good your team is. And we just broke down that this team, yeah, they have names. They have some, you know, they have some good players, but they're not deep. And it's not cohesive. At the end of the day, they're not functioning together. They're dysfunctional, and it's clear as day. I watched Dame only score 4 points the other night. It looked like he didn't even want to play. Like, and I never – like, we know Dame is going to shoot the ball. He probably took, like, 12 shots, I want to say. Mm-hmm. That's not him. Like, they don't want to be there. And Dame's my guy, but I got to call him out too. You know, all right, last year – and, you know, I never seen him make excuses like that. And that was just not it. And you come back this year, you're talking about he was working out with David Goggins, the guy who, you know – top personal trainer. He's, you know, a top tier shape, does a lot of crazy workouts. You're working with him this summer. Okay. You get back in shape and get, you know, get to your best form. I'm not seeing it. You're shooting 26% from the three to start the season. I'm not seeing it at all. So I don't know. I feel like they just got to blow it up at this point, because if your two best players don't like each other, that's one thing, right? We know Kobe and Shaq starting to like each other, but you got to be able to play together, want to win. Seems like they don't even want to do that. So at this point, I think it's time that they may have to blow it up. Now they're saying that Giannis never wanted Jrue traded, right? Like, what is which? Like, I don't get it. Are you getting coaches fired, but you're not telling what players can get traded and what not? I don't know. Even from ownership, right? It seems like ownership and the players are on the same page. Ownership and Giannis isn't on the same page. To me, Doc's there for a check. He told me that when they like I said, he told them, like, are you sure you want to hire me?
Doc said he wouldn't wish this on anybody, right?
Yeah, like he said, why would you fire Adrian? You guys are this, that, and the third. You guys have a good record. Why are you bringing me in? All right, bet, bring me in. I'll get the check. I would do it too. I ain't tripping. But it's just like, yeah, dysfunction.
Doc was a consultant.
Right.
Bucks when Adrian Griffin was the head coach. You fire Adrian Griffin and the consultant all of a sudden is the head. Like all that. I remember we talked about it. It was just looking foolishness. And I said they were gonna regret this. Like it's not gonna work out like you think it's gonna work out. Anytime you trade you fire a coach that is winning in the middle of the season, something is up, something is wrong. I don't know what's happening, but now you're seeing the pieces fall like I thought they would, and now you're in a position where you just look horrible. I don't want to watch the Bucks play. I have to know what I'm talking about, but it's just a bad basket. It's just strictly off of watching basketball. There's nothing about this team that appeals to me. It just – when do we hold Giannis accountable for what this roster is and for what the head coaching situation is? When do we hold Giannis accountable for expanding his game or not expanding his game, right? I know Giannis is – look, he's a great guy. He has great PR, whatever the case may be, but he seems like he's a player who is untouchable when it comes to criticism. And I don't want to criticize. I like to be fair with my criticisms, but I just got to call things like I see it. Giannis, if this was LeBron James, right, and things are going certain ways, who are we looking at?
Brian, all the
if
way.
This is Joel Embiid, if this is like certain guys are always looked at when you're the top guy, Giannis is always in the top three, top five conversation every year. But for some reason, you can't criticize him. You can't say, okay, well, why do we fire Mike Budenholzer? Why did we fire Adrian Griffin? Why was Jrue Holiday traded for Dame? Like, why haven't you guys worked this out? Why haven't you guys figured this out? At what point do we say, Giannis, do you have some accountability here? That's all I'm saying. Like, let's just keep things 100% clear and honest about it. Like, some players just simply, for whatever reason, they're above criticism. And I just it looks funny to me sometimes. That's all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not talking about him as a I don't know him as a person, but strictly basketball and what I've seen, some things look funny. I have questions. That's all. I just have questions. I'm not in that locker room. I don't cover that.
It's his image. You know, he comes from a humble background. He won a ring already. You know what I mean? He doesn't seem like too over the top braggadocious. He's like, you know, it's kind of goofy, but he's serious on the court. You know, it's all image.
And I saw that soft launch trade request that he did. We just going to see that?
Right.
Like when he said I might be traded next summer or whatever.
You know, he said they might trade me.
They might trade me.
Like they going just ship you off.
Your
like
best player in the game said they might trade me.
Like you're expendable. He's expendable. Yep. We'll go with that.
The best player on your team, the franchise, the reason why you have a championship says trade me.
He fears. In the middle of his prime.
They might trade
me. He fears for his future in Milwaukee.
And now we saw reports now apparently the Nets and the Heat are teams that he would like to get traded to, right? There was like a rumor report that came out recently. So I'm just noticing some things. I'm not going to say too much, but I'm going to watch. So we'll come back to this next summer and we'll see how it all plays out. But you know what? I just if you just pay attention, you can sort of see where things are lining up to be. But the Bucks are cooked. There's no trade that they can do to make this team better. And their championship window is totally shut. I think the Nuggets window is still sort of open. Milwaukee is shut. Is that fair to say? Like, it's shut.
Yeah,
it's looking cooked. Because let's say for some reason you get out of the East, right? I don't think that's happening. Who in the Western Conference are you beating in a 7-game series to win a championship? No
clue. I have no clue. Like, they're not getting out of the East.
No, of course not. Like, you're not getting out of the East. You're not. So you got your championship a few years ago. I'm not going to hate and say KD's foot was on the line and Harden, Kyrie were hurt. But these are facts, though. But you won the championship. You did win the championship. For Milwaukee, for a market like Milwaukee, that's great for you because I think that was your peak. That was your peak. Like, and I think ever since then, you guys have lost your way. You've been trying to figure it out. You've been trying to throw darts and hope something sticks. And you're making all the wrong moves. So I think the Bucks championship window is closed. They're cooked. They just got to ride it out. Now to some positive news, some teams actually playing well and have it figured out. The Thunder are scary, bro. They were one of my favorite teams to watch, like, the year before, a couple years ago, toward the end of that season, I was really paying attention to the Thunder on League Pass and seeing what they were doing. I saw, yeah, I'm hopping on this Thunder bandwagon before it gets too crowded. And last year, amazing season. But this year, it feels like they've, most notably Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
He's forcing people to pay attention. Like, he seems to be stronger with this game. His game is confident. He's more aggressive. And the crazy part about it is we haven't even seen what this team looks like with Isaiah Hartenstein and Jalen Williams and Kenrich Williams. Like, three of their big guys who were supposed to help Chet are hurt. So imagine those guys come back. You can allow Chet to be more free defensively and roam around, not have to bang with the big bodies. Isaiah Hartenstein and Jalen Williams and Kenrich, they're about the dirty work. So that's going to be fun to see. We know what SGA does. Lou Dort, Jalen Williams, but getting Alex Caruso. Defensively, this team is just, you got Alex Caruso, Lou Dort, and Cason Wallace defensively on the perimeter. And SGA too. But that's just lockdown. Isaiah Wiggins has gotten better. Isaiah Joe continues to get better. Who else? I feel like I'm missing. They got AJ Mitchell. They got him out of nowhere. He's playing well. Osman Jing, 21-year-old, he's been getting minutes. First in points allowed, first in block shots, first in steals per game. What I love about this roster is they have so many guys that are interchangeable from 1 to 5 that can defend multiple positions. They're skilled. And the oldest player on the team is Oz Caruso at 30. I'm buying stock in the Thunder for the next decade. And they could potentially land Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, whew, Dylan Harper,
Edgecombe,
Trey John, whoever they want to get. Yeah, VJ Edgecombe. Because they could possibly own the pick swap with the Clippers. And the Clippers don't make the playoffs. That's a lottery pick. It's getting scary in the Western Conference. That's all I'm going to say.
Great GM work. That PG trade probably go down as the best trade, like, in history for a franchise of that caliber, you know, to put them in prime position now. Like you said, for, like, the next decade plus, as long as everybody stays and injuries are away from them for the most part, they'll be dangerous, man. The thing about them – they're fun to watch. Like, they love playing with each other. I even like, you know, the little post-game thing they do. Like, it gives, like, high school, college team vibe. Like, you know, like, we're supporting each other. We happy. They lit. And just the way they play, like, the problem, like, we got to talk about this, too, like, on another episode, is just, you know, the product that the NBA is putting out on the floor right now with so many blowouts and just how teams are just chucking up threes. And we spoke on it a little bit. Mm. The Thunder is, like, yes, they get up a lot of shots, but when it's time to get a bucket, they have players that can get to their spots in the mid-range. They have players that can get to the paint. They got SGA. They got Jalen Williams, right? And it just looks – it's fun to watch. And they play defense. Like, they're not just like – like a team like the Kings, right? We know they can put up a lot of points. Pacers, they put up a lot of points, but they're not guarding you on the other end. The Thunder are getting back and guarding you, and we're going to get out in transition and score. Right. And honestly, if you ask me, the only problem that they had in the playoffs was they didn't have enough rebounding. We talked about them getting Hartenstein. He'll be back in probably like, what, 5 to 6 weeks. Chet, we already talked about how he's getting better. Right. He's like the defensive player of the year right now, if you ask me, him and AD. So it's exciting. Definitely my early pick to come out the West. But, you know, it's a long season and teams, you know, teams go up and down. Teams get better. Some get worse. But I'm definitely excited to watch them. You might be on mute. You on mute.
Two of my favorite teams to watch are the Thunder and the Grizzlies. And I think those two front offices have done the best job when it comes to player evaluation and player development. When I see these two teams, there's no excuse for these other teams to not build a cohesive roster because the Thunder and Grizzlies use guys that have been lottery picks, mid-first rounders, two-way guys, guys who have been in the G League. Like, they've gotten guys who have – down, up and down the spectrum, they come from different backgrounds when it comes to their entry into the league. but they found ways to develop these guys and put them in top positions to be at their best, right? Like, look at they beat the trouble. I mean, they beat the Blazers. There's nothing to be happy about, but Chet Holmgren had 6 points, but guess what? Isaiah Joe had 12. Aaron Wiggins comes off the bench and had 13. Ashman Jing had 11. Cason Wallace had 13. AJ Mitchell had 8 points. Like, it's just that ability throughout the roster for guys to step up. And I see there's a confidence. There's not a single player on that roster that I've seen play from the first man to the 12th man where the confidence isn't up. Like, they're not afraid to shoot. They're not afraid to make a play. And that's coaching. When you're empowering your players to be confident and be ball players and actually make plays, that's what I'm not seeing enough of when it comes to these teams across the league. I see that with the Thunder. I see that with the Grizzlies. Those two teams for me are doing the best job as far as getting the most out of their player. I mean, Jae Huff, Scottie Pippen Jr. I mean, most people weren't even thinking about these guys, but now this year, they're like legitimate pieces to what I think is a Western Conference contender, the Memphis Grizzlies. And so that comes down to coaching. That comes down to development. It comes down to having a system, putting guys in position to be the best that they can be them best selves, right? So for me, the Thunder are tops when it comes to that. And what's scary is at the age. I mean, SGA is 26. He's just entering his prime. The rest of these guys are just – Caruso's 30. So he still has a few years left to really be at his best, right? And so the Thunder, for me, are the most exciting team to watch. I love the way that they play. I love that they enjoy playing with each other, as you mentioned. They play a fun style of basketball. It's not just chucking up threes. They actually can get to their spots. They move the ball. They locked. If you complain about the Thunder, then I don't know what you're watching, because they play basketball, and their roster is constructed in a way that's, I think, how they've built their roster to me is how teams should look at. Like, that should be the blueprint. I know the Celtics obviously what they've built, but the Thunder from top to bottom, because you can make a case that the Thunder are deeper than the Celtics.
Right.
As far as that bench performance and the skills that is coming off that bench, like this team is. Now, the Thunder, I think, are the deepest team in the NBA. I mean, just looking at it. And they're so young, and they're only going to get better. And so, for me, that's the most exciting part. I rode with the Thunder last year. I'm riding with them again. They're my pick to come out of the Western Conference. And listen, I want to see how Hartenstein and Kenrich Williams and Jalen Williams look once they get back. But they can win a championship this year. I think they could. I think that experience last year in the playoffs really helped them out. They saw what they had to get better in, and they improved. And so I'm excited to see what they can do in the playoffs. Head back to the Eastern Conference. We got to talk about our guys, 76ers, and the confusion and drama that is. So when we're recording this, it's Saturday, November 2nd. They'll be playing the Memphis Grizzlies, and we heard on Friday, November 1st, that Joel Embiid and Paul George will not play. They continue to miss. They haven't played a game yet. The biggest thing is, for me, with Paul George, I understand. We saw that injury, the hyperextension, the knee bruise, like that. That takes time, right? Joel Embiid is confusing to me because at this point, I have no expectations that he'll play until it happens. I refuse to live every day by an injury report. I just can't do it. You know, it's like, if the Sixers have a game, I'm going to assume he doesn't play unless otherwise said, because this team is not giving us any clarity on what the plan is and how his knee is. I don't know what to think. If your knee's not ready, okay, then say that. Say that the knee is not healthy, but we have a plan to get him back healthy and ready to go. My concern is this. You cannot afford to just punt these early season games away, because what happens when it's March, season's coming to an end? We still got to compete for playoff seeding, right? Is Embiid going to sit out back-to-backs then? How is that going to impact your performance on the floor? How are we going to build chemistry? Like, all I'm saying is, if your knee is not to a point to where you want it to be, how can we trust that come playoff time when it comes to grinding in the playoffs, when the game might be physical, when you might be tired physically and mentally? Can we trust that need to be ready? Can we trust you mentally to be there come playoff time? I can't make a judgment on this team because I don't know what it looks like. Without Joel Embiid, without Paul George, I don't know what this team is because they haven't built the chemistry. And so I have no judgments about this team right now because it's confusing. I don't know where this is going. But, yeah, I'm pretty much over it at this point because this team is bad right now. Eric Gordon getting minutes. Kyle Lowry getting minutes. Like, this isn't a good team. I mean, you lost to Detroit, right? So that tells you all you need to know about where this roster is without Paul George and Joel Embiid in the lineup. But the biggest thing is when it comes to fans is just the confusion. They're buying these tickets to see you guys play. And they don't even know if they're playing until the day before when they already have these tickets. That's the biggest issue. And so I'm over this narrative. To clear things up, Joel Embiid called out a sports reporter in Philadelphia yesterday. He wasn't calling out the fans because from what I know, I think the fans in Philly appreciate Joel Embiid, right? I don't think the criticism comes when it comes to being in shape and wanting you at your best, which I think is fair. You're a pro athlete getting paid a lot of money. Get in shape. Simple as that. No excuses. I don't care. So he was clarifying an issue with an article that was written by a columnist in Philly that was foul. And so for me, that columnist deserved to be called out. Because I saw the article and it was some nasty stuff. And so that right there should have been called out. But fans, for the most part, we just got to quiet that narrative about Sixers fans and Philly fans in general. For the most part, he's well supported in the Philly area. So let's just quiet that right now. But outside of that, I don't have any expectations when it comes to the Sixers right now because I haven't seen it. And I don't trust it right now. I just don't.
Yeah. First of all, the whole report situation. I understood what he was saying. Like, I know people on social media are running with it because he said everything I've done for this city, mm-hmm. He doesn't have any rings or conference finals appearances. So people on social media are running with it. I've been seeing the jokes, but if you listen to what he actually said instead of nitpicking quotes from his statement, he actually said some real things. Like he said, I played with broken face, broken bones, hurt knees, hurt back, whatever the case may be. He's risked his vision to go out there in the playoffs. So he's definitely fought through injury. And I'm not even so much mad at Embiid because we've known since we drafted him that he's had injury problems. Like, this is not a surprise. I need to know, like, first of all, to me, it looks bad because you were just playing in the Olympics. Like, I just saw you in July, bro. I just saw you playing with the Olympic team. One. Two. Like, we weren't aware of some major injury coming leading up to the season. Like, we're expecting you, like, all right, you're going to be out there ready to play. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, what's the timetable? Right? Y'all say it's a knee injury. What's the severity of it? Like, all we keep hearing is, yeah, he might play this day. Then the next day comes, oh, he's not playing. Oh, he might play this day. The next day comes, he's not playing. Then they keep talking about, yeah, he's ramping up in scrimmages and 5-on-5s, this, that, and the third. We're just tired of it. We're over it. And as far as the team, this is a bad team right now. Like, if you ask me, when I watch them play, the second best player is Kelly Oubre, and I like Kelly's game. I like his energy. But if he's the second best player on your team, listen, it's over. You're not doing anything at all. And I don't like some of the flack that Maxey's getting. He shot bad his first two games. He did. But you got to remember, he's a 6-foot guard, right? They're notoriously going to shoot bad when they're the focal point of an offense, getting all the attention, and they have to take a lot of shots, right? And
he's out not a natural shots. Point guard either. He's not a natural point guard either.
But he's gotten better with his playmaking. But once again, who is he out there with? We don't have some crazy knockdown shooters with us. Andre Drummond, he's a rebounding guy. I just told you Kelly Oubre is your second best player. It's not it. I'm not mad at anything he shoots at this point. Go out there and get buckets. Mm-hmm. The guy you got on your poster back there, AI, was the same way, right? He wasn't always efficient, but he gave it 110% every game. So I'm not mad at Maxey. I'm not mad at Nurse. We just need our players out there. And I'm just tired of the confusion and all the dysfunction. Like, it just seems like, I don't know. And then the Philadelphia media, man, they got to chill. Like, we already know about this. It's even worse with the Eagles. That's why I don't get mad when Jalen Hurts gives them the one-word answers in press conferences, because it's like, we're going to try to twist his words. I know what goes on. So, yeah, hopefully they can come back soon. We're going to need them. But we do got to find a way to get some wins, because we don't want to fall too deep down in the standings. But it's a long season, so.
My thought with this is, look, the only thing that matters is playoff time. So whatever this team needs to do to make sure Joel Embiid is at his best physically and mentally to be ready at that point, that's all that matters. Because if we get out of the second round, all this is going to be forgotten about. That's how this works, right? Winning makes people forget about some things that were going on. So, but on the flip side, check me out now. If you fail to get out the second round once again, I don't want to hear any excuses. Because wait, you sat out the first 2-3 weeks of the season. You should have, right? If you're physically out there in the playoffs and your body's good and there's no setbacks and you fail to get out the second round again, what's the excuse? Because I thought this plan that you guys had was the best plan to get it prepared and ready for the playoffs, right? So to me, as a fan and as a viewer of the game, this plan means no excuses come playoff time. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Because why are we sitting out then if we're able to play? Right? If that means this is the best opportunity to be at your best come playoff time, and if your body is ready, there's no setbacks come playoff time, and you once again fail to get out the second round, unless you play the Celtics, right? Is there, outside of the Celtics, is there a team that you can have an excuse for the Sixers not to get out the second round? If it's the Celtics, okay, I get it. I can't be mad.
No, there's no, listen, you know.
Is that fair to say? Because there are people on two different sides of this conversation, but let's just come to the middle. That's all that matters for both sides, getting out of the second round and competing for an Eastern Conference championship. That's the goal, right? So for me, this plan, sitting out the first couple weeks of the season, to me, that means there's no excuse then. Because you rested your body through preseason, rested your body through October. Who knows how long this rest is going to happen? That means your body should be preserved enough. Your mind should be right. You should be ready to go. There should be no, I don't want to hear a single excuse. Don't say, oh, we didn't have time. You know what will piss me off? If they say, oh, we didn't have time to build the chemistry early in the, well, you had this plan that got in the way of building that chemistry. So that's why I'm bringing this up. I don't want to hear any excuse of, We didn't get to build chemistry. My conditioning wasn't right. Well, y'all decided not to play back-to-backs. Y'all decided to have this plan. You decided not to play and build this chemistry. That was you guys' decision to make this happen. So therefore, no excuses. I just want to put that out there. Like, whatever side you are on the argument about the plan and whatever, at the end of the day, all that matters is playoff time. If Joel Embiid and Paul George are out there and their bodies haven't had any setbacks, and you fail to get out the second round once again, there's no more excuses. Doc Rivers is no longer there. Ben Simmons is no longer there. Al Horford is gone. Tobias Harris is gone.
That's what I've always been saying.
Got you Andre Drummond, Caleb Martin, Kelly Oubre, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, Nick Nurse, a championship-winning coach. This was the best roster that Daryl Morey could put together. And I think he did a really good job considering the situation. So if your body's healthy, your mind is right, come playoff time, there's no setback. To me, that means, okay, you sit out the early part of the season, you're sacrificing chemistry, you're sacrificing early wins. That means you better be ready and locked in come playoff time.
But we know how Embiid is, though. He's going to take time to get rhythm, right? Even when he comes back from his injury, if he was, let's say they magically say he could play tonight, I don't feel confident in him having a good efficient game because I know how he is. So it's like it's more imperative that he gets back even sooner.
Here's another thing. Is he ever going to play back-to-backs again, ever again?
No, that's what he said. It's probably not for the rest of his career.
He's 30 years old, where most guys are in the prime of their careers physically, and he can no longer. Al Horford, he doesn't play. Starting last year, he doesn't play back-to-backs. Al Horford is pushing 40. What does it say when your best player, your franchise player, can no longer play back-to-backs at age 30? I mean, I don't blame, like, your body is your body.
Right.
Your body, like, injuries happen. Like, you can't. But for an organization, for a franchise, every franchise in sports, at a certain point, you got to make hard decisions. You got to ask some tough questions. I don't want to bring it up right now, but I think the time's coming closer than expected for the Sixers front office. I think people can understand where I'm getting at here. Like, the foundation is only as solid as that franchise player. And if your franchise player at age 30 can no longer play back-to-backs at age 30, I haven't seen that before, where a 30-year-old superstar can't play back-to-backs. I don't know what that looks like. So that's why it's hard to – I don't know what that looks like, in the grand scheme of things. What does that look like? Because you're expecting – you're that's the thing. When you're a franchise player, where you're a superstar, you're expected to be available and be at your best every game, every night. That's what the job calls for, right?
Yep.
So I don't know where this is going for the Sixers franchise. So for me, there's a two-year window. There's a two-year window for this team because Paul George is in his mid-30s. So what are we talking about here? There's a two-year window for this team to – I'm not even going to say win a champ. I'm going to say get out the second round. that's where I'm setting the ceiling right now, because you haven't been able to break that ceiling yet. So until you break that ceiling, I can't even talk championship with you, because you can't get out the second round.
And to me, making a conference final don't mean nothing to me either, honestly.
It shouldn't.
It just made it last year. Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
Are you beating Boston in a 7-game series? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, fact.
That's the only thing that matters, right? We'll see. The great thing about sports is that it always plays out on the court, on the field. We'll see. Like, the truth will always be exposed. You can't run from it. Like, the result, you can't. It is what it is. You can't fake it. Like, we'll see it play out. That's what I love about sports. You can't. No. Like, we're going to lace them up. We're going to hoop. It's going to play itself out. Like, the result is the result. Either you're good enough, either you're going to be prepared, either you're going to be mentally ready to go, or you're not. And we'll see. And we might be having the same conversation this time next year. We'll see.
Odds are.
But at this point, I'm over it, though. Like, I'm over it. If we can't get out of the second round again, what are we doing? Am I tripping?
Nah. I mean,
like,
at that point,
I would rather bottom out at that point and start the rebuild process than every year have the second round. Like, what are we talking about? That's all. That's just a frustrated Sixers fan talking. I'm just having a realistic approach to it, right? I know we're support the team, you want to believe in the team, but at a certain point, I mean, if we're not careful, we're going to end up delaying the inevitable. You don't want to be the Wizards. You don't want to be the Blazers. You don't want to be the Bulls in no man's land. You know where this thing is headed. That's all I'm saying. So, yeah. Any other final thoughts about the Sixers?
Nah. Play Grizzlies tonight. Have fun. Go out there. Have fun.
If I had to make a prediction, I expect the Grizzlies to win.
And you know what's funny? They have some injuries too, but I just know.
They still hooping.
Jaren Jackson is playing.
They got Jay Huff hooping, Santi Aldama.
Yeah, I have no expectations.
So check this out, bro. They say, okay, Embiid and PG might come back Monday. You know who they play Monday?
Who do we play Monday?
At the Phoenix Suns. Oh my God. You start a West Coast trip. So you followed up. The next game, you're at the Clippers. The next game, you play the Lakers. So you tell me what's going to happen. You tell me.
Right.
We know what the Suns are. We know what the Lakers are looking good. The Clippers are going to be a tough – that's just a tough opponent right now. They're just going to be scrappy and annoying team to play. So that's not going to be an easy road trip. You play Charlotte. You have the Knicks, the Cavaliers, the Magic without Paolo Banchero, Miami. Like, this upcoming stretch isn't easy. So they better be very careful, very careful. At what point is it panic mode? Is it, like, what would you start to, like, okay, what's going on? Like, what would you say? If Embiid's not back by...
If he's not back by the end of this month, I'm in panic mode.
I'm going to say if he's not back by sometime on this West Coast trip, which starts Monday and ends on Friday, November 8th. If he's not back by that West Coast stretch and this team only gets one win during that stretch. Yeah, because then you're looking at, let's say you, okay, is Memphis a win?
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to just write it out. So right now, what, one and three right now, right? So yeah, let's say, okay, one and four. Huh?
Are we 1-4 or 1-3?
Beat Indiana, lost to Detroit, lost to Toronto, so 1-3.
Okay.
So you lose to Memphis, right? Okay. Let's say, okay. Well, it's hard to predict because we don't know if these guys are going to play or not.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, we'll know. Like, we'll know when we're cooked. Like, we always know. I know, at least.
Worst case scenario, right? Let's say Embiid doesn't come back. Let's say, because Paul George says his knee is fine, it's just about conditioning. Okay. All right. Let's say PG comes back on Monday, right? Are they beating Phoenix, you think?
No.
So that's 1-5, right?
Right.
I'm doing this with the expectation that Embiid isn't playing because that's where my mind's at right now. Are they beating the Clippers with Paul George and Maxey?
I think we could beat the Clippers.
So that's 2-5. Okay. You're beating the Hornets, right? 3-5. Although the Hornets might not be, LaMelo might go crazy.
It's not sweet, but
Brandon Miller might come back. You play the Knicks. Hold on. You play the Lakers. Is that a win?
Nah, probably not. Because our big man situation is going to be cooked.
So I think I did it wrong. So 1-3, 1-4 loss to the Grizzlies, 1-5 loss to the Suns, 2-5 went over the Clippers, and then 2-6. So you could end this road trip with a 2-6 record. That's all I'm saying. Is that panic time yet?
At 3-6 at the end of the trip?
2-6.
2-6. Yeah, but the only thing is, like, the season is so long that it's hard to say 2-6 is panic. Because we know when he comes back, we'll get wins. You know what I mean? And it's the East. Like, that bottom, that last part, people are going to fall off. But
so let's say he comes back on Sunday, November 10th against the Hornets. Could beat the Hornets, right?
That's after the West Coast trip.
After the West Coast trip.
Okay.
But after the Hornets, you play the Knicks and the Cavaliers back to back. So
yeah.
There's no easy entry into, like,
right, to get
getting in back in it and getting in rhythm. Unless you say the Hornets game is the game you want to get back into.
Right.
I don't. We'll see. One more shout out. Bilal Coulibaly, career high 27, and the Wizards win over the Hawks on Wednesday. I see you. One of my favorite rookies from last year. The offensive game is coming together. The Wizards got something. I want to talk about them in one of the other shows coming up, but I see what they got. Like, Bob Carrington, Alex Sarr, Keyshawn George, Bilal. I think they might be building something finally in Washington the right way. If they get one of these top three picks next year, I'm starting to pay attention. That's all I'm saying. And Trey Mann finding a nice role in Charlotte as a sixth man. Those are two players that I've noticed and wrote down that I like what I'm seeing so far this year. So,
yeah, shout out Cam Thomas too. He's balling.
Cam Thomas is in the peak spot that he would want to be in as a scorer.
Yeah, like, he's getting the splits are nasty. Like, he looks efficient, and they're going to him in big moments. Schroeder's playing good too for them.
Yeah, Cam Schroeder, like, the Nets are a team to where, like, if you want to, like, a big payday coming up, if you want to raise your stock in the league, like, you can get your game off with the Nets. And Cam Thomas and Dennis Schroeder are taking full advantage of that. So I salute you for taking it. Is Cam Thomas, what's his contract situation? Let me see. Because if he's a free agent, he's getting paid. So, yeah, he's a restricted. Hold on.
Might be his last year, right?
It says free agent 2025 for
sure. No, they didn't extend his contract. It was the deadline was on October 21st. Wow. They wanted this. Whew.
Hey, listen. If well, I don't. if Denver has the money, would it be a, like a nice spot to have off the bench Cam Thomas, six-man type situation, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe the Spurs. I'm just thinking about teams that could definitely upgrade if they get a Cam Thomas in there. We'll see. But, yeah, Bilal, Koulibaly, Terrence Mann, Cam Thomas, Dennis Schroeder, y'all definitely doing your thing, raising the level of your game, increasing that stock. Love to see it. But, yeah, that's it. We're going to see how these storylines that we talk. I expect the Thunder to continue to be legit. I think Denver will – they'll stay above water. The Bucks are cooked, though, and the Sixers are to be determined because I just haven't seen it. So it's hard to say. But, yeah, thanks for watching another episode of Marshall Time. Remember, Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify Podcasts, on YouTube. Subscribe, like, share with your friends, your friend chat groups, your family. Appreciate you guys watching and listening and supporting us. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace out.